Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 365. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways after the program so that you can order it. Please specify whether you'd like a audio tape or a CD. They're absolutely free, including the postage and handling. We have very strong messages today. We have testimonies, singing, and whatever else it is that the Lord wants us to give you from Him today. But let's right now make sure that that happens by getting a hold of the Lord. It's so wonderful for us to be able to communicate with the Lord, to go boldly before the throne of the Lord because His Son lives within us. As a matter of fact, His Father lives within us as well. And of course, they both are the Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit that gives us immortality and also gives us the ability to keep all the commandments. And on top of that, also gives us the ability to mortify our flesh. The Spirit of God has the mortification power in it to kill the old life, which is absolutely worthless, and give us the eternal, everlasting life of God mingled within our temporal spirit, so that our temporal spirit is no longer temporal, but it's eternal. But there are things that we must do, and the Lord did it all for us, and now He requires that we do quite a few different things. One of them, if you'll read the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, you'll see chapter verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents." Does it just say your parents? No, it says children. Those of you that are born again, children of the Lord, obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, if you have parents that are not of the Lord, you are not to obey them if they're drunks or if they're shooting up narcotics and drugs or taking narcotics and drugs or if they're acting unseemly before you. It just says, obey your parents if they're in the Lord, for this is right. So God is telling us right there that this is something that's right. Amen?
Amen.
This is right. And it says, honor thy father and mother. This is what's so wonderful about the Word of God. It tells you to honor your father and your mother in the Lord. And the reason for it is because it is the first commandment with promise. Because that promise is that you'll live longer on this earth. That it may be well with thee if you honor your mother and father. You know, you see so many people today putting their mothers and their fathers in rest homes. You couldn't cut me into enough pieces, you know, because it's if you're doing that unto your parents, you're doing that unto the Lord. And the Lord saved your soul, and He died for you, and He resurrected from the dead. And if He's in you, He resurrects you from the dead. And you have to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You would want to be stuck away someplace after they've taken care of you all your life, given you birth and taken care of you. I mean, this is if they're in the Lord. There's a lot of bad parents that actually hate the Lord. They don't love God, but we're supposed to be good testimonies to them anyway. I used to think that when I first got saved, that I could just about do anything I want because I just thought, I'm saved, I've got it made, until I started reading the Bible. The Bible is God, and when we disobey what the Lord says, then we're not serving the Lord. We're serving our own desires. I just thought, I'm saved, and you're lost, and I was really full of spiritual pride. And I wouldn't do it. I just didn't know these things that I had to do. So I had to take care of my mother. By being a good Christian, I led her to the Lord. I led my brothers to the Lord, and he led the family to the Lord. And so, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. You want everything to go as well as possible on this earth. And it's a promise that it'll go well with you here on earth if you honor your godly mother and father, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, do not provoke. Provoke not your children to wrath. A lot of people know how to make their children feel good, you know, to do things for them and be with them and to stand up for them when they're right and rebuke them when they're wrong. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I mean, if my little children have ever done anything wrong, what I do is I tell them what they're doing wrong and what will happen to them according to the word of the Lord if they do something wrong. And it's just amazing that if I don't keep this commandment, then everything is going to go awry for me. The Lord will stop sending finances in. People will start getting sick. Will be persecution will increase on the church, and just so many things happen that are evil if you don't take care of your children the right way. And the right way is read the word and you'll see. Now here's a good one. Servants, I want to pray right now first because I want you people to pick up on this. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for the word because it gives us clear direction as to what to do that will please you. And if we're obstinate to what will please us, then we go out and live our whatever kind of life it is that we want to live instead of doing what you say. The reason you want us to do what you say is because it will be a strong testimony to the people in this world because nobody's doing what you tell them to do. The entire world has gone crazy. And if we do what you tell us to do, people will see us as something different, a lot different than what everybody else in the world is like. And then they'll ask us, and that's an open door for us to be the witness to them and tell them that we live this way because it's the right way, it's God's way. And they'll see that our way is better than theirs, and they'll see us being blessed, and they'll see us excelling in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding more than anyone else. So Lord, this is a very strong message from the book of Ephesians. It's like putting on the whole armor of God. Putting on the whole armor of God is listening to what the Lord says and then doing it. And then it's impossible for Satan. He can shoot at us all right with these fiery darts, words, persecutions, character assassinations, degradation. He can degrade us all he wants. And if we're keeping your commandments, we know that we're right. And it gives us a lot of peace. And you open doors for us to where we have a place of refuge. We can be someplace and be able to sit down and lie down and pray and communicate with you. And there's no better person in the entire universe to communicate to. But first, people must be saved. So, Father, open the hearts, souls, minds, and the spirits of everyone in Radio Land, and that they might receive salvation today. And let everyone that is in that calls themselves a Christian, let them start loving you, because in the book of Revelation you say that they don't love you anymore, the Christians, and that they don't love the brethren anymore. And this is a must, because we must be like the flying saucers. Christ in our midst, and we surrounding the Lord, and the Lord within us, just as it says also in the book of Revelations that the churches are the seven golden candlesticks, and that you are in the midst of them. And you're there with your word because they read your word and we see what it says. And you love those that obey you. You said, you are my friend if you do everything I say. And I am God. I am the Word of God that came into this world in the flesh to show everyone what God really likes, what He dislikes, what we are to do in order to receive eternal life, and what we are to do if we want to go to hell. Now, we're free moral agents, and we are the ones that must choose to either be controlled by the Holy Spirit or to be controlled by the spirit of Satan. And Lord, I pray that everyone in Radio Land will accept this truth, all these different truths, and they'll accept you as their personal Savior, and that the church will be shocked back into the love of Christ in the Father and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
So here's one that a lot of people, this is the one that used to get me. I was a servant. I was working for people. I took jobs that I never had done before. I took the job as the master of a motel on the Strip in Las Vegas, and then also I was running a wedding chapel, Cupid Wedding Chapel, and that was where I was put. The Lord really humbled me. I was not only the manager of the place, but I was the maid. I gathered the clothing up, the sheets, and I used to make the beds and clean the showers and everything. And when I saw this, at first I says, Lord, I'm not going to do this. I'm above that. I'm in you. I'm going to be a minister of the gospel. And then I read this. It said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Your masters means whoever you're working for. They're your master. They're the one paying you. So, you know, a lot of people today have got the wrong idea. They think, well, we are our own boss and we are, you know, we don't have to listen to anybody. Even if people are feeding, clothing, housing us, and paying for our dental and our glasses and everything. But you're a servant of the Lord. Are you not?
Amen.
Okay, so if you're a servant of the Lord, He wants you to be good to unsaved people that you're working for. In other words, don't punch in 1 minute and then loaf around during the day because you don't think that it's the right thing to do, that you should be able to beat out as long as you can, to gold brick is what they call it. But it says, servants, if you're a servant and you're a servant of the Lord, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. This is not even according to the people that are of the Spirit. Now, if they're of the Spirit, you're supposed to be doubly obedient to those that have the rule over you, because you're a servant. And if you don't receive that position as a servant, then you're a heretic. You're like a very filthy piece of chaff to the Lord. Now, even to the people that are of the flesh, you're to obey them as though you were serving the Lord, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. And how much more people that are your overseers or the head of the church, like your pastor. These are your rulers, and you're to fear them with fear and trembling. And then when they're reproving you because they see you openly disobeying the Lord, then you get some kind of a thing going on you, like somebody's offending you, or that you're the offense. You're not only the offense to those that have the rule over you, but you're an offense to the Lord because you're not doing... You're not serving your masters, you little servants, as though you were serving the Lord. Don't you get it?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So don't think you're so high. This is what I was talking about, the way I used to be. I mean, this master would come. He owned the motel. It was called the Calneva Motel. Now, there's a Calneva Motel. This was in Las Vegas. Now, we went there to get married, Sue and I, and I owned a Beatles album, and I said, let me sell the Beatles album, and we don't have to work like slaves. Here I am cleaning showers, and some of these people are nasty. Toilets, sinks, and taking the sheets off their beds and the pillowcases and putting and then I read that scripture, and I did it with joy then, because I was doing it as unto the Lord, because the Lord wanted me to do that. But you see so many people in the church, they go, yeah, 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 as though you're a nothing and they're a something. Or they go, yeah, sir, you know, and then they just go on and do the same thing again. But even, again, I'm just going to reiterate that servants, I was a servant. I was running that motel. I was managing it. Sue and I were married, and the bell would ring late at night, and she said, get it. Go ahead and get it. You're Tarzan. I'm Jane. I'm not supposed to go out there. And so I'd run out there, and here there'd be people smiling and wanting to move into the motel, and so I'd have to get the key and go out into the, it was sometimes cold in the Las Vegas, and I'd take them to their rooms outside, because it was one of those outside hotel motels, and I'd show them where to go. And then when they get up in the morning, I'd get right in there, and I had to order the sheets and pillowcases from the laundry and make sure they were all counted right, because my master, the one that owned the motel and the wedding chapel, he depended on me to give him a full day's work. And when the swamp coolers would go bad, there were like little copper flywheels on the top, on the roof. And I'd have to go up there and see where it's leaking. And it was a gravel roof, and I'd have to get on my hands and knees because I don't see that good. And I didn't murmur at all about that. And sometimes the heat was up to 110, 120 degrees. And I've got glaucoma. And it was a joy, though. I was so happy to be saved and happy to know to do that. Because a lot of people wander around in ignorance, but not knowing, well, what should I do to be a Christian? Read the Bible, all right? Read the Bible, for God's sake. That's God. When you've got that Bible in hand, your hand, you've got God in your hand. So again, he says, servants, and I was a servant, and when somebody would ring the bell, I'd come there and they said, we want to get married. So they'd ring the bell of the wedding chapel. That means they had to get dressed and go real fast over there or we'd lose them. And it was my boss, and it was like the Lord, and I didn't want to lose any business for him. And we had a glass case in there. It was very cold in there, and we had orchids and different flowers, and I'd sell them a bundle of orchids to wear, and then they could record their marriage on tape, and I'd sell them that, and some of them couldn't afford it, and so as far as it was my master, I couldn't give it away because it wasn't mine to give. Then I would have become a thief, and so and we weren't making that much money either. We got our room, and that was it, and some money, not much money. And I was, the man would come there and bug me a lot, the owner. And so I would say, told Sue, man, I'm just going to make up my mind to do more than he asked me to do. I'm going to tell him, George, these motel units there, they need painting. Why don't you give us the money to paint them? I'll paint them for you. And he says, and then when I kept asking, let's fix the roof or the flywheels or put in the air conditioning and stuff like that, he stopped coming around so much because he was kind of chintzy. And now, I'm not talking about the Calneva in Reno. Nevada or Tahoe, that is a very expensive place. This place was about a Z-rated motel. It wasn't a first-class hotel like the Calmeva up in Reno. All right, and Tahoe. So, now this is very important here. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, if you're living in my church, if you're living under me and I'm paying from the money that the Lord gives me, your bills, buying you new clothes, feeding you three or four meals a day, giving you a nice bed to sleep on. Most of the people in our church have very nice mattresses and all new linens and everything and clothing. More clothing than you see some movie stars have. I've been in the movie star home of Tony Franciosa. There's just hardly anything hanging in the closet. And I've been on the Dick Clark show, and he just had one little old tiny jacket hanging in the closet on a wire hook. And he came in, and we talked for a while. He says, "How do you want me to present this, Bobby Jim?" And I said, "Well, you're the doctor. You do it." And so I was just always, even before I was saved, I'd say, "You're the guy that's in charge of this show." I said, "Well, I'd have him do the whole campaign that I did and billboard on him, and then put a light behind him so they can't see his face. And then just at the height of the song, to sweep with a light over his face so people can see him. Kind of give everybody a little hype there." And so so they don't have much clothes. Our people, the least of our people, have far more clothes than I think Dick Clark has. And many other people. Some of the closets are so stuffed that they have to put stuff in another place for winter clothes and then take the winter clothes off. Down when winter comes and put them on, and in the summertime they put all the winter clothes away and for spring and summer, and then they wear those. But I get to the point here. So servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, even if they're unsaved, all the more because you want to save their soul. With fear and trembling. Well, why fear and tremble about something like that? Because God wants that person saved. And he doesn't want you to cheat them. And he wants them to say, "I've never had a person that worked for me as hard and honestly as you do. You really earn your money. You are a good servant. And I adore it." Many servants such as that have been put in people's wills, and they've wound up having millions of dollars, but they didn't do that for that purpose. It's just because they're good people, Christians, true Christians. And this is something that, but do it with fear and trembling, because God wants that person saved. And if you throw a person's soul, if you're not reading the Bible with them, or if you're working for somebody on an outside job, give them all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that just as you would for the Lord. This goes on here with fear and trembling. In singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. So you're to just have a single heart. Don't get your mind and start reading the paper, or, you know, just loafing around, lounging around in the noonday sun, because that person will fire you. And I want to inform people that come to my church, I'll put you out of the church. Because the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, all right? Mm-hmm. And so we do that on you first, and then after that, then we just put you out of the church. Because you're a bad example, and you don't have the fear of the Lord. You don't have the fear and trembling that a true person of the Lord has. If you don't tremble and fear to keep the commandments of the Lord, you're not saved. You've forgotten the Lord. You don't love Him. You don't love Him anymore. And you don't love the brothers and sisters. You like to devour them with your evil, unbridled temperament and your evil, unbridled tongue. You lash out at people. So, in singleness of your heart, as unto the Lord's. Not with eye service. Oh, yes, a boss. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, I'm. But with, not with that kind of service. As men pleasers, but as the servants of the Lord. The servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. Now, some people ask, well, how do we do the will of God? Right there is a good one, right? Amen?
Amen.
You do what the Word says with fear and trembling. You're nobody unless you are doing what the Lord says. You're nobody. You're just trash. You're what you are is chaff. People will ask us that have been our enemies and now are our friends. The Lord tells me to overcome evil with good. Some people were coming against me over in Falcon. I told them, they said, you don't let anybody see your... I said, well, come on over to my house, have a cup of coffee, and I'll give you a ride on our merry-go-round. We've got a merry-go-round in back of the office, school, and place for the people in the office to sleep and eat. And he couldn't believe it. So we took him up there, and I put him on the merry-go-round, and he said, could I bring my little daughter over here, or my, I forget, one of his family? And I says, yeah, sure. The whole city council can come over here and ride on this merry-go-round. That's what I built that park there in the city of Falk, was not because I was trying to make points with the mayor. I was just trying to do something good for the people of the town, and then they turn it around like I'm some evil creature and bring accusations against me but that are not true. And they're just stuff from backsliders in the Cult Awareness Network that they're listening to. And so he just came over the other day. This has been about 2 months or more than 2 months ago when I told him that. And he asked if he could bring his wife and his little child and ride the merry-go-round. And sure enough, I said, of course, I told you you could. And so I sent two of the brothers over there that knew how to operate it. And they got on there and had a lot of fun. He says, please thank Tony. Because, you know, we're doing what the Lord said. We're overcoming evil by doing, you know, this is one of God's creations. And the Lord wants us to treat his creation as though they were him. Inasmuch as you, you know, feed your enemy, give drink to them, clothe them if they're being naked, visit them if they're in hospitals. Do the work of the Lord. Anybody can be high and mighty. Go down to Beverly Hills, Bel Air, or Pacific Palisades, and you see all these snooty people. I feel sorry for them because that's why I witnessed them. And I feel sorry for everybody that doesn't do these things that the Lord commands for us to do. Okay, so you're doing the will of the Lord, of God, from your heart. Not with the eye service. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Okay, but just because they're men doesn't mean that you can just look down your nose. That's what I first thought. And then I caught myself doing that because I was very self-righteous when I first got saved because I knew I was saved and I still know I am. And but now I know these commandments here. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. In other words, when you're doing good for people, don't think of it as that you're doing good to men. Think of it as that you're doing good for yourself, for the Lord that lives in you, so that the Lord can, the people of the world can see this type of light in you that they might want to be saved. Okay, now we have, let's see, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Yeah, whether he be bond or free. Now, if you do the things that the Lord tells you to do, why, you're like sowing good seed, and you're going to reap good seed. But if you continue on being the way you are, if you hear a message like this, not from me, but from the Word of God, I'm just a channel of God's words to you, well then you'll see that you're going to reap what you sow. You do evil and you're going to reap evil. Is evil, is there some kind of evil happening in your life? If it is, just think for a while if you've been doing evil things to somebody. And if it's not, if you're just doing good and they're still giving it to you, well then you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, and you can still be happy no matter which way it goes. But if you're, sometimes people are getting blessed. And you masters do the same. So if I'm in charge of a bunch of people, then I'm a master. You do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. The only time I ever threaten anybody, and the Lord says to do so, He said in the book of Revelations in chapter 11, if people are not receiving the word of God, put them out. Okay, and so I tell them, stop doing that and begin serving the Lord, because this is the church. And if you want to act the way you are, then go somewhere else. That's not a threat, that's a promise. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're not going to be in the house of God and do the things that the Lord wants you to do, well, then I tell them I'll put you out, and that you may consider a threat, but it's the Word of God. Threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In other words, rebuke people when they need rebuking, and tell them what the Lord says I must do to them if they continue on being the way they are. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that is the Spirit. Strong in the Spirit. The Word is Spirit in His life. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able, that you for sure will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you're contemplating suicide, or that you just want to, you know, become a wino and go to wino missions and live in there, or if you just want to throw in the towel one way or the other. No, it says for you to be strong in the Lord, that ye may be able to stand, put on the whole armor of God against the wiles of the devil. So put on the entire Word of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the devil. But the Lord is stronger than the devil, and so therefore we have to put on the whole armor of God so that God will bless us. Now, I've had all kinds of powers and principalities come against me. This is 42 years, and I'm still happy as can be. I'm as happy as a Christian can possibly be on the face of this earth. Against powers and principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. But right there it tells you that the rulers of this world are rulers of darkness. Amen?
Amen.
That means evil. And so, yes, we live in a very evil world. And it's run by the Vatican. The Vatican in Rome. It's nobody else. When you see somebody else doing it, it's just a division of the Vatican. That's all. It's a political organization that is right out of the pits of hell. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, there's so many motion pictures that have been brought out about how FDR deliberately waited until Pearl Harbor was bombed because they wanted to take over the world for the Vatican. And they, whenever they want to take over the world, they bomb a place like the World Trade Center, or they'll kill Christians like they did David Koresh. He was the Seventh-day Adventist. And there wasn't anything wrong with that man. And yet this FBI agent that went there, they just, a lot of them just quit the government when they saw that they went there just to kill him. They didn't want to arrest David Koresh. They said, and they said that they wanted to kill him. And this was a FBI agent and a BATF agent that said he took part in the bombing of the World Trade Center, the federal building in Oklahoma City, and also the massacre at Waco of those innocent people. This is the world government that is doing these things to you, and they're using our troops to invade countries for the Pope, so that the Roman Catholic cult can become a real one world government that is full of devastation and murder and every kind of evil there is. It is the, we have become the muscle power of the United Nations. If this country, if we pulled out of the United Nations, the United Nations would be a worthless, weak organization, because they use us as a threatening force for every country to accept democracy, which is no more than a totalitarian government, a government that is they want to control the whole world so that they can be a world power, a dictatorship. So when you hear the word democracy, just think that it's dictatorship. Now we have a couple of testimonies here. Where's the first one from?
From Grosbeck, Texas. To whom it may concern, I am the chaplain here at Limestone County Detention Center. I want to thank you once again for your last order of materials you sent us. It has been such a blessing to us and to the men that live here on this unit to receive your gospel materials. If it is possible, may we receive another order of your English and Spanish materials?
Absolutely, as much as they want. Then what?
Again, I would like to express my gratitude for helping in the prison ministry. We are very privileged that you have come alongside us as we follow the mandate of Christ. So may God's peace and joy reign in your hearts and minds as you help proclaim deliverance to the captives. Thank you, and may God bless you and prosper your great ministry. Sincerely, your brother in Christ, Chaplain J. Vasquez from Grosbeck, Texas.
Okay, now, if we don't keep the commandments of the Lord, that's a nice letter. If we don't keep the commandments of the Lord, then how would there be a flying saucer? How would there be a church? The church has Christ in its midst. And the flying saucers that you're seeing today are symbolic of Christ, the wheel within the wheel, Christ in the center of the church. The church is the wheel or the hub. No, Christ is the hub and the church is the wheel or the rim or the tire of the church. And so we couldn't be able to be part of that flying saucer if we were not doing everything that the Lord says with fear and trembling, just to make sure that you're in with the in crowd. Now we're the minority here on earth, but we're the in crowd. And if you want to be in with the in crowd, then you better be in part of that wheel. And how can you be part of the wheel when the wheel is fighting the wheel, and when the wheel is against the hub? We all have to love one another and give full service to each other so far. Not eye service, but service. Put in a full day's work. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what's the next one from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
Mm-hmm.
Dear World Pastor, I was a Kuka Hindu idol-worshipping gods. Pastor O. Franklin visited me in my village, Rutshuru, prayed for me, and distributed Tony Lama literature. First, I refused to take your literature because I am of the Hindu community. After being explained the contents of your literature by Brother Franklin, I was attracted and opened my eyes, and now accepted Jesus as Savior of the world. I read the literature one day fully, and the next day I was changed in my heart. Nowadays, the youth in India are being spoiled due to sinful lives, tempted with illicit friendship and falling into AIDS, HIV diseases. I took some more literature containing the wonderful contents and details of the earthquake message by Pastor Tony Alama. Thank you very much for the nice and great literature. I request you to kindly send some Bibles in our regional language for distributing to my friends in college. Nobody or no literature has touched my heart. I also thank Brother Franklin, who is doing good service in my rural village. I request you to pray for me and the youth of India. Thank you, D. Narayanaro from Bhatpala, Andhra Pradesh, India.
Well, we're all going to go, you know, to the judgment bar of God or to the mercy seat of Christ. And here's a song that I sang called When You Go. You're not going to take anything with you, so you better just do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
In a turmoil by the sidewalk, somewhere someone left to meet their fate. Other people stand around and just talk, when they could do more than just debate. Everybody's sweating about the dollar, yelling penny saves its penny. How's it gonna help them when they holler, if it sends them to a place to burn? You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. Help somebody turn a tear to laughter. Need some air return along your way. There's no social standings in hereafter. Everybody dies a single way. You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. Might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. When you help somebody before he, you can't shuck the Lord now, don't you know? Helping others can be fun to feel, 'cause you can't take it with you when you go. No, you can't take it with you when you go.
Praise the Lord. All right, you know, we're talking about doing everything that the Lord says for us to do. People say, how do we give ourselves entirely over to the Lord? Well, you just get into the Bible and read what He says. You have to pray from your heart, not with your mouth. Not eye service or mouth service, but from the heart. And then you are for real. And the Spirit, the more I'm dead of my old ways and old life and the things that I don't like and the things I do like, the more I'm mortified from it, the more I read the Bible, the more I will be mortified or my old life will be killed. I'm talking about the life, the old life that I lived, the me life. God wants every part of us. and I want to be mortified so that he can have all of me, because he wants to use me, and because within the spirit of Jesus there is the element of the power of mortifying or mortification or the killing the bad stuff that's in our flesh. And the Bible tells us that Satan is still in our flesh, and that's why we have to keep our flesh under. Just like the Apostle Paul stated, he said in the Hellenic Greek, I beat my body black and blue with the Word of God. He just keeps, he doesn't spank himself like you see these Buddhists do or anything like that. But he just beats his body black and blue with the Word of God to keep it in line. Because of the stuff that's in us is bad in the flesh, but it's the spirit in us that kills or mortifies that stuff that is our flesh. And this comes from the effectiveness of Christ's death within us. Christ's death has to be within us in order for us to have his life in us. Sometimes when the Spirit is moving within me, and if you're saved in you, you have the same sense that the Lord is on the throne and that you have to be humble before him as the Lord of everything. Everything from plant life to human life. The more you have the Spirit moving within you, the more you will be subdued. The satanic power in your flesh will be subdued or killed by Christ. That is the you. Because the Lord doesn't want you or I to be doing anything whatsoever. He just wants us to be dead and for him to be alive in us doing his live work. The work that brings forth life. He's the life-giving spirit, not us. So because the flesh profits nothing, but the spirit is life, you will learn to recognize the lordship and leadership of Christ if you are flowing with the Holy Spirit. Flowing with the Spirit. Also, as the Spirit is moving within you, there are a lot of times you'll have this feeling or sensation that you are transcendental or transcendent. The more you have the Spirit moving within you or flowing within you, the more you will have the sense of the feeling that you are not on this earth, but in the heavenlies. Because the Bible states that we sit with Christ in heavenly places, does it not? Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Heavenly places. You are far above everything. It seems as if nothing can touch you. All things are under your feet. It's like the whole world is an ocean and you're walking on top of the water. There are other times when the Holy Spirit is moving within you, you will have a feeling or sensation that you have to be so humble and lowly. What that is has to do with something of Christ's human living, because he went through the entire process of human living so that we could see that he never sinned once and he was in a human body. And that was because the Holy Spirit in him was mortifying his flesh so that it wasn't subject, he wasn't subject to his flesh but to the Spirit. Now, you can be subject to your flesh. You can choose to do that if you like, but you'll go to hell in the lake of fire and you'll be screaming your head off forever. Or you can be subject, knowing that you're in being processed through human life as a vessel or a channel of the Lord. You'll realize that, yes, the Spirit is moving in you, but you are still a human being. there isn't anyone who has the Holy Spirit moving within them that can be proud and say, I'm not going to do what you say, Lord, and all that, because then he'll take the Spirit away from you and you won't be able to do anything. The more you think highly of yourself, the more it proves that you are out of the Holy Spirit. And if you're out of the Holy Spirit, you're lost. Get your eyes off yourself and on Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I get it on the Word of God. People may think that a person that reproves you, rebukes people, a leader or pastor, is not in the Spirit. That's because they're not in the Spirit. Because the Bible tells the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, to reprove and rebuke people. They're just doing what the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is the Holy Spirit, has told you to do. That they, but if you are in the Holy Spirit and have the Spirit moving within you, you will be a humble person. Not humble before people, but humble before God. If the Lord tells you to be humble before your master, well, then you'll be, just give him a good day's work. You don't have to go about, you know, like a dog, but just put in a good day's work. Amen?
Amen.
Humble before the Lord. Not people. For instance, a pastor doesn't want to rebuke or reprove people or discipline or impose the things that the Lord maybe might want him to do. But you will be humble before the Lord and you'll do it because you want to go to heaven and not to hell. That's just common sense. Many people will not like that because they're not humble. They're proud. So proud that they will not follow those that the Lord has placed over them. So they argue with them. So they take issue with anything that these people say unto them. But if you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you, on the one hand, you will be transcendent, high in the heavenly places, and on the other hand, you are lowly and humble, but not in any other way than the way that the Lord tells you to be, lowly and humble. That is before Him, not people. I see my time is up. And the Bible tells us to all humble ourselves and cry unto the Lord so that we can be lifted above this earth and to have no, we won't have desires anymore to get drunk or to be loaded on a pot or pills. Or the Lord's power, it holds up the whole universe and is able to keep us holy. So the thing to do now is to just call on the Lord. It's, you're not calling unto Him for death, you're calling unto Him for life. In life eternal. So just say to Him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe the Almighty God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord. Lift your humble, holy hands up to the Lord now and thank Him and praise Him for eternal life, and be baptized now. Yeah, fully submerged in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and receive the Holy Spirit, which gives you the power to be in the ministry and makes you understand the Word of God more. Now here's Sharon to give you four different ways to receive a copy of either this tape, audio tape, or the CD, program number 365. Please specify program 365.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
We need to get busy. This is World Pastor Tony, and I'll be sure to tune in tomorrow because we've got another blockbuster for you. Don't let any more days slip by not doing what the Lord says. Here I am singing the days we let slip by. How awful.
Like robins in the springtime, when a day is come and gone, it is then a part of eternity and time. The days we let slip by forever, while we're putting off what we can do tomorrow for us. The days we let slip by, we'll never live should have.